Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob and Remy Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest today is former NFL star Larry Johnson. Larry was a Nittany Lion, just like you.
Woo! Yay.
He was there just a little bit, maybe 4 or 5 years before your time.
So, really?
Yeah, when you got there, you know, Remy in football, right?
Did you go to the game?
I actually went one game.
All right.
My friends made me.
If you go to Penn State, you have to go to the game.
You do. I understand that. I get it. Actually, it was pretty awesome. It was impressive. It was a whiteout.
I love when it's a whiteout.
What is that, a special thing?
Like everybody wears white in the audience?
Okay. Yeah, so everybody was wearing their white sweatshirts and everything.
Was it October, awesome. September? Do you remember the weather?
It's always freezing in State College.
Yeah, it's always cold in State College. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's always freezing. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome, though.
Did they win? Do you remember who they played?
I didn't understand anything. Okay. I was just standing there. I was like, oh, this is cool. Taking pictures of my friends. Like, great. No clue what was going
tailgate.
On.
That's about right. Did you get the tailgate down and everything else?
I did tailgate one time. Okay. And that was awesome. That was pretty cool because it was food. I mean, I love food.
So does that mean?
Like, totally. Yeah. Food and football. Food, I'm in.
So now that you've had that out of your system, maybe we could someday go to a game with the girls. It would have to be an away game. It couldn't be an Eagles game that I have to work, but no.
So you want me to actually travel to, like, watch?
Although, if she goes to a home game, she'd go to the TKC food truck.
That's right.
It's just a little place, you know what I'm saying? And that's good food, bro.
There you go. You
know, that is good food.
The last home game, so I went into the stadium, got all my stuff ready, right? Sat down. I was there. I went outside. I left the stadium, so I go back outside to see one of my neighbors who's been inviting me to a tailgate for 3 years.
And you finally got around.
I finally got there. Couldn't connect with him because by the time he texted me back to tell me what lot he was in, I was already back in the stadium. And it was so hot. I was like this close to saying, I'm going to walk down to the TKC.
Bro, you should have.
It's about 2 blocks. I said, I'm going to wait till mid-October or maybe November. And so a little cooler.
But it's been packed.
I love that.
Packed.
I really need to go
for
see
anyone
that.
Who's hearing the show for the first time. Tell them about it.
Yeah, the Connect Church in partnership with Carson Wentz's A1 Foundation. We do a food truck called Thy Kingdom Crumb, and it's at every Eagles home game, and it's right there next to Citizens Bank Park on the corner, right there. It's so much fun. It's all free food, and it's just kind of Carson and the church's way to give back and to tell people that they're seen and loved and valued. And there's there's games out there, there's music, it's drinks, there's food. It's and we do everything really well. So stop by. It's just so much fun.
I love to see when I drive by the crowd because it's a big crowd and you know people are going to go for the free food but they're getting a whole lot more than the free food and I love to when you report back and you say like 55 people 60
last week we had 65 people come to know Jesus at the truck.
65 people on their way inside.
It's just amazing. They take the time to stop awesome. And you know our teams out there they just spend a few moments with people so it's not long but it's just 3 or 4 minutes to tell them the good news of Jesus, right? That this gospel's free, that this gift, just like this food is free. Mm-hmm. People ask us all the time, why is this food free? And they can't work it out. Like, I can't believe free. And we come back to, look, God's love is free.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is just an outward expression of a spiritual truth, right? If you can receive the food that's free, then you can receive the gift of salvation.
How early before a game are you guys out there?
On a 1 o'clock game, it's 10:30 to 12:30. So we close down just 30 minutes before kickoff. It's 2 hours. It's 2.5 hours before kickoff. Okay. We're out there.
So you'll be there if it's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, I know. We have a Sunday night game. We have a Monday night game. We have the Dallas game later on in the year is a 4:25 game. We'll probably be out there a little longer on those days only because
you can get out there earlier.
They let us get out there as early as possible. This is just a matter of timing for team and
Sundays, church days. it's a difficult process.
It is.
We're going to talk today about a topic that you may not hear so much about depending on the church you go to or if you go to church at all. And the topic is just we want to discuss the various ways God speaks to us. And I've been super busy lately with work. It's NFL season. I had the baseball overlap for a month. The Phillies are now finished, so I
can
focus.
Best time of the year.
For you, it's the best time of the year. But now I can focus a little. So there, I had a lot going on, and I haven't been spending as much time in the Word as I should. And sometimes I cheat by telling myself that, well, I'm looking at the Bible app. I'm reading my Bible app.
Right.
You know, I'm reading my Bible app when I'm in the bathroom. I'm reading my Bible app in bed, or and I feel like, okay, I'm getting what I need, but there's really nothing like holding that book.
That's true.
There's nothing like when you hold that great book in your hands and just immerse yourself in it and dive into it. And, it started a little bit. So Sunday morning, Remy and I was dead tired,
yeah.
Dead tired, and our.
Oh, you've had a really
a hectic yeah, schedule.
It's been
lately.
Crazy.
And we wanted to come to church, and we woke up a little late. And I looked at Remy and I said, "We got to be ready in about 40 minutes to get out." So it's not that big a deal, but it's me, her.
Oh,
and,
it's
and,
a big
and
deal.
No, Remy, right? Remy, it's, yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's 40, a big deal.
When you've got four girls, I mean, I'm sorry, three girls. You guys gotta get ready.
Thank you for saying that.
Because he was trying to say it was going to be long for
right.
you, but I know his like, hair. His hair like, takes
you know
at least
response?
35 minutes.
Do you know my response? I said, I looked at him and said, "Honey, I can get ready in 15 minutes. The problem is you." Right? Isn't that what I said?
She's right. I was the last one downstairs.
I
was the last one downstairs, and I didn't wash my hair that day. I was like, I'm just going with bedhead. I don't care. I'm gonna get.
Let me just say, I know people can't see it, but his bedhead is his head all day long, every day. Like sometimes yeah. I look at him like, how do you not like have a hair like sticking
but
out?
But I saw him on Sunday, and I'm thinking he looks the same today. He looks fantastic. You look great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, the same. I mean, it's a gift.
I knew you were on a pulpit, yeah. Pastor Kyle. So Remy and I,
so
we got out and we made it here, and it was so powerful that day. I was literally, and you get me every time. I was literally in tears. Right, I was sitting there, and I was literally in tears, and I just felt that nudge from the Holy Spirit. Like everything I have going on is not as important as this.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
can wait. Everything, no matter what. And I got caught up a little bit in, I had a big story last week. Ben Simmons mm-hmm. sat down with me, an exclusive one-on-one, and he doesn't really do that at all, and just revealed, like, he was so open and honest mm-hmm. and transparent and talked about falling back in love with
great,
the game again.
Great, good. Great interview, Rob.
And I appreciate that, and I really appreciated him opening up
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Me that day, and it became big news. I mean, it was everywhere. It was all over. And I got caught up in who is talking about it and who's not and who's saying mm. Ben Simmons spoke to the Associated Press, knowing full well it's my name.
Right, right? Correct. Right, of know. Course. Absolutely.
And so
yeah.
it's if and you have to go out of your way to just delete my name and
yes.
just say, right. which is fine because that's how we work it at AP. You just have to give them credit. You don't have to give the actual author of the story credit. So I just got caught up in just some of the nonsense and the stupidity of that. And being here, being in this house on Sunday, hearing you, listening to Jake and man, I got to tell you, how awesome is that as a dad
mm.
when
cool.
you're up on stage and you see your son is leading worship and then Danielle comes up, your
yeah.
wife comes up at the end and it was just like freestyle worship.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
it was,
this is what I think about. I'm like, how is it in their house? Do they like just like sit there and just, you know,
it's loud at my house sometimes because
right?
they
yeah.
like Jake sings all the time,
all
the time.
Yes.
But it's you guys know, because when you bring your children with you into the house of God,
yeah.
there's just something happens. And when you raise them up, if you train, look, the word is true. You raise them up in the way that they should go. When they get older, they don't depart from it.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean, you know, as a pastor's kid, Jake sees everything. And he's lost tons of friends, right? As people leave church and
yeah.
things happen and,
yeah.
you know, and for pastor's kids to know all of that, see everything that goes on, deal with all the scars of it and still fall in love with Jesus and still be in love with Jesus and love the house.
It's special.
It reminds me every day of God's grace.
And that's why I love when we come in here. My favorite part is when the girls, before they go to their class, their schedule, when they're in there rocking out with us
uh-huh.
to work because they love it. And,
yes.
and they love it and they're rocking out in there with us. And I'm like, wow, this is special. This is also, I try to do it as much as I can, get in here during, it's a hectic
yeah,
NFL
it's
season.
Yeah, it's hard, especially in NFL season.
And I just realized, like, and then the next morning, I'm getting ready to run out. Sixers media day. Got to hit the Eagles. Philly's got some potential news coming down. You don't know. And as I'm getting ready, I just, again, felt that nudge. I felt the Spirit telling me, take 5 minutes. Wow. Take 10 minutes sit down and just get in. Don't have the Bible app. See, when I have the Bible app, right, and it's my phone. So now somebody can text you.
Yeah, correct.
There's the enemy. How bad does the enemy not want you to focus on what 100%. You're reading and on diving in there? So I said, I'm going to forget the Bible app. I'm going to take out my favorite book. And I took out the Bible. I sat there, had my breakfast, and I love reading Paul. I started back into Ephesians, and I'm reading Ephesians, and I just felt the weight of all of the nonsense going on in my head was lifted. And for me, God speaks to all of us in different ways,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
and I know Remy wants to talk about various signs and animals for, you know, for her. God speaks to me in so many different ways. And he spoke to me Sunday through your sermon, through the worship here at Connect Church. And again, on Monday, he spoke to me through just the spirit reminding me, hey, man, immerse yourself in the book. Don't focus on the silly stuff. And then later on that day, you posted, what was it about? You're focusing on the crumbs instead of God's got the whole table out there.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was great.
Thank you. He was going on and on about
the crumbs.
The crumbs.
Which I get.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm not naming any. You know,
yeah, but
it's
little crumbs.
It's about how the enemy tries to just steal from you, steals your joy, steals your happiness, even steals the things that you accomplished. You accomplished something pretty awesome.
Yeah,
right. You did something pretty great, but look at him. He's taken this little tiny little thing. It's like a dig, and goes, "Oh, let's focus on that."
Definitely.
That's the crumbs. Yeah. And we, as the children of God, we should not be focused on the crumbs. We should be focused on the whole table he set in front of us.
100%.
And keep going. Yeah. Keep building up and stop looking underneath the table. Underneath the table is not for us.
Yeah, our human nature always wants to go to those crumbs.
Yes.
It's actually can be used in a really powerful way if we're mindful of it, right?
Yes.
And when we're guarding our heart and mind, when we're taking captive the thought,
absolutely.
When we recognize it and go, oh, I am on the crumbs. Now let me, right?
Thank you, enemy, for
reminding me I'm focused on the crumbs. Right. I want to step back and be focused on the King.
Yeah.
I preached a different message at our Philly service, Philly campus on Sunday. So I preached a different message.
So you did a separate one on Sunday? You did two different messages.
Yeah, okay. And it was on being distracted from your calling. What you were just talking about, Rob, is so easy, is that time and time again, you know, Jesus comes up and he'll say, come and follow me. And people are like, oh, I got to go take care of my family. I got to go. There's a business deal. I will come, but let me go do these 18 things first. And Jesus's call never stops. So he doesn't say, all right, well then forget it. But the distractions keep us from being truly intimate in that thing. And it's easy to be distracted. We get distracted by our desires, by our ego, because that's what you're talking about, right?
I mean,
you know, Elijah throws his mantle on Elisha, the prophet, and says, come follow me. But Elisha's rich, huge, right? I mean, he is wealthy, he's prosperous, he's a big man in town. Elisha could have said, why am I going to come serve you? You should be serving me, right? And the ego gets in the way so many times. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of distractions, buddy, that we have. And that's why getting back into the Word, because the Word doesn't just show us how to behave. It shows us the person behind the behavior. So, like, we don't study the Word to get to know how to be better people. We study the Word to get to know Jesus, because he is a living Word.
Yeah.
So, like, when I start studying the Word, I start to see who I'm really not. Who I'm not. Not what I'm not supposed to do. Who I'm not, right? Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, I think I'm, even in the good things that I think about myself, I look at it compared to Jesus and I go, Right? Yeah. So that's where that's where the Word is so important.
It's so cool when you said, the phone app and the book. I always had to struggle with that because you always have to understand that our God is a jealous God. He's jealous for you.
Because he
loves you so much. It's kind of like, if you are with me, and then you're looking at someone else.
See, somebody will take that as a negative, right?
Somebody will
hear that and go,
he's jealous towards you.
What is Remy saying?
He's zealous for you. Correct.
He loves you so much that he wants
your undivided attention.
He doesn't want you to be distracted.
So if I'm with you and you're talking to me, we're having a conversation, but you're looking at someone else or at your phone, I'm going to say, excuse me, where is your undivided attention?
Oh, you've done that more than once.
Thank you very much, because I am jealous. No, I'm joking. But seriously, though, we have to take in consideration that we need to give him our undivided attention at all times.
Absolutely.
We can't just be all over the place and sit here and read for a little bit and then come out and just do something else. He wants your undivided attention. He wants your time alone with him.
Yeah, and that's why, Remy, it's so important that we learn that, like, work is worship, right? I know we've talked about that before, but work is worship. So when we think about worship, we think about what's done on the stage or what's done in a Sunday setting. And yet worship is just including God and living with him in whatever you're doing. Yeah. So that's why it seems so impossible, Remy, what you're just saying, sometimes to the natural ear. Well, how can I give him all my attention when I still have to go to work, when I still have to, I have these responsibilities? Because it's you're having a dichotomy. I have my God time, and then I have my me time or my gym time or my, we're compartmentalizing. And, that's why I think, Rob, you and I have talked before, but this old thing that I used to hear said 1,000 times, it's like, God, family, football, however that,
it's always prioritized.
Yeah, it's prioritized, right? And I go, no, it's God and
everything. Yeah.
Because the moment you say that there's God, then there's something else, is that it gives our natural self the ability to go, I had my God time, now I have this.
But see, this is what brings us to this conversation, because sometimes I would fall in this a lot before when I knew what a relationship really is.
Yep.
I would fall into the whole trap of, oh, I did my prayer today. I did my reading. Yep. See you later.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
But here's what I have learned. And this is a personal journey. Everybody has their own thing. I see him in everything that I do.
Absolutely.
I see him in my kids, in the little things they say. I see him in you. I see him in my work. I see him in outside, in my yard. I see him in the sky. I see him in the birds. I see him everywhere.
Absolutely.
And when I say I see him, not just physically, I see him spiritually in things because I see him in my dreams. I happen to be a dreamer. From a very young age, I happen to be a dreamer. And when I was young, I used to dream of just dreams. Actually, I remembered my very first dream when I was 4. I had a dream of Jesus. I was sitting right next to him with a couple more kids, and he was reading to us. That's my very first dream that I've ever dreamt.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how you remember.
I don't remember anything like from yesterday, let alone when I was 4. That's awesome. It's very impressive.
It was a very interesting dream. And at the time, I didn't have a relationship. I just knew about him.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, cool. But then I was always in my head. Like, it was one of those kids that was always in my head. But when I grew up and came to realize that this is a whole relationship, and the Holy Spirit really poured into me and into my life, I realized, my dreams are significant. There is a whole lot happening.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of activities in my dreams, okay? And I write everything down to, like, the craziest details. And then I see that the things in my dreams are actually translating into things outside in my front yard or in the sky, and then see interesting things and birds and numbers. And I'm like, what is happening? And then when I research them, I'm like, he was actually trying to reconfirm something to me. And here's what you need to understand about this, because this is what I had to understand too. God is not trying to prove anything to you or make you believe anything, because if you are not there, then he can't really speak to you on that level just yet. Because he wants you to understand that I'm speaking to you on that level because I'm reaffirming something to you that I already spoken over your life.
Wow.
That's a whole different story. So you have to understand that your belief and your faith is this kind of a starting point to this whole thing. And then from there, he wants to walk with you in a relationship that would get you to a place where you go, yes, this is a great sign for what you told me like 2 years ago. Now, this is a reassuring point
a confirming moment.
So, and this is what he speaks to me. I don't know how he speaks to other people, but this is how he speaks to me. But I invite a lot of people. I invite everybody to just go deeper, dig deeper, because there's so much to this whole thing than just reading.
Oh,
and saying thank you for the time. Bye bye.
That was my big takeaway 100%. When I dove in to Ephesians.
Yeah.
One
Ephesians
was
is awesome.
What Paul's talking about. And I just walked away from that. Knowing that, and I say it all the time in my testimony, I used to know all about Jesus, but now I know him personally. And that's what he was trying to get across
100%.
In that first chapter of Ephesians. And
yeah.
I was like, and the way to do that is for me to continue and make this a daily part of my life, not a fit it into every schedule that I opportunity that I have. But along those lines is what Remy's talking about with the signs. I needed the sign was listening to the nudge of the Holy Spirit and getting it through being present
Yes,
actually
correct.
Being present, correct. Physically present here.
Yes,
on Sunday, and then listening on Monday as I was just sitting there. Different people, different signs. I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean,
God's spoken to you in so many various ways throughout your life.
I think when we look at how God speaks, and I agree with you. I think God speaks. First of all, God's voice a lot of times sounds like our voice in our head, right? So you start to recognize when God speaks and things actually happen, the differentiation between his voice and your voice. But, you know, sometimes I think we're thinking that God's voice is going to sound like Morgan Freeman, right? Yeah. Or something, you know, some sort of, you know.
He's up here, you have right? to look up. Like,
yeah, something, you know, and he's not. He speaks, yeah. You know, Jesus spoke the language of the people. Why? Yeah. Because he wanted to communicate to the people that he's communicating to.
Absolutely.
But I do think, guys, that God speaks through his word. There's a voice of the word of God. It is clear. That's why he tells Joshua to meditate on the word day and night, yeah. So that as he grows, he won't depart from it. There's this strength that comes from it, courage that comes from it, prosperity that comes from it. There's the voice of the Spirit. Jesus said, "The same Spirit I have, I'm going to give you, and he will lead you into all truth." We talked about on Sunday how the anointing, that presence of the Spirit helps us to understand the truth, that when we don't understand it, he teaches us even deeper things. There's the voice of the word. There's the voice of the Spirit. There's a prophetic voice, that comes, through the body of Christ that certainly can, confirm. It should never be informational. It should always be confirmational. Mm. So that's why we need to be around each other, because there are a lot of times God said something to you internally to your spirit and you start going, "I'm not sure."
Exactly.
Right? Or, yeah. "Hey, how about it?" But then someone comes up to you and says, "Man, I've been praying," and boom, and you go,
"You came into my mind.
How did you read my mail?"
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
Wow.
Right. And, or, you know, we have to be careful with that, because sometimes someone's going to walk up to you and be like, "You know, I believe God, you know, called you to, he's saying something about Chinese, something about China to you." And you're thinking, "Oh my gosh, I guess I'm supposed to go to China." And he's like, "No, you're just supposed to go for Chinese food." But right. It's confirmation, not information. But I also do think that there's a pastoral voice. And that's the shepherd's voice, the earthly shepherd's voice for the overall body of Christ. That is essential. It's why we can't go without the house of God. We can grow with Jesus, individually, but that's only a portion of the voice he has for our lives. Mm-hmm. Because as a people as a body, God has something for you that he's trying. That's where I encouraged you on Sunday, Rob. Right? Yeah. So having the pastoral voice inside of us, because a pastor's voice isn't going to be concerned with, they're not going to limit their voice based on an individual's likes or dislikes.
Yeah.
We tend to sometimes read portions of the Bible that we like or don't like, right?
Yeah.
We skip over the things that make us uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But with a pastoral voice, a shepherd's voice, he's there to make you healthy, not happy.
Right.
So all of those things. And then we have brothers and sisters, right? We have the voice of iron sharpening iron.
Yes.
So I think all of these voices are important, let alone, remember what you said, nature. God reveals himself through nature, right? That's Romans 1 tells us God reveals himself through nature. It's not saving truth, but it's certainly revealing of who he is. So I think all these things are the ways that God speaks to us.
God uses everything. I mean, in the Bible, there were so many examples of like Jonah and the whale, for example. You know,
correct.
He used the whale to keep him and keep him safe, to deliver it somewhere else. He used the dove and Noah.
Correct.
He used the ram and Abraham.
Yep.
You know, he used the coin in the fish's mouth with the disciples. So this is a lot
donkey
of like
Balaam. Yes.
I have the next. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing, you guys. There's a lot of hidden treasures out there for us to discover, and this is how he likes to speak to us, because he likes seekers of the truth. He doesn't like people to just be spoon-fed. So I had to realize that for myself. I don't want to be just spoon-fed every day. I want to discover things about you, Jesus. I want to discover things of how you speak to me. I want to know things on a deeper level with you. And that just becomes a whole different relationship where you're every day you're excited, like, "Ooh, what's going to happen today?"
Yeah.
Like, so that's an exciting relationship.
Because it's a relationship.
It's a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I didn't get married, for example, just to put a certificate on my wall.
Right.
I got married so I can have a relationship with you. Every day, relationship. What is it they have to discover about you today? Because it's a discovery every day.
I mean,
let me tell you with that boy right here. This is a discovery every day. So it's true. But this is the thing. There's mysteries all around us, and we have to just open our eyes to see not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, and just look at everything. Look for God everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere. And when you look, he will drop things And he will show you things that you're like, whoa, that was cool.
But what you said is so important, Remy. I think at the crux of this is that we have to see God not as the principal that wants to correct us, but the lover who wants to draw us.
Wow. Absolutely.
And, you know, I grew up, and I'm sure many people grew up in religion. Rob, I know you did too, right? I know, Remy. We've always talked about this, where the rules were the crux and foundation of everything. And when I see God through those lenses, I'm always worried that I'm not good enough. I'm always worried I'm going to get in trouble. Sometimes we've heard this said, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And so I guess I don't want to go to the word because then I'm held accountable for it.
Right.
But no, when you look at the word of God as a love letter, it's his heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's his Valentine's Day card to you every day. When you can see it like that,
it's beautiful.
You go, oh, I want to get into it. And it's passion, not obligation. And it changes the way that we see him and the way we see ourselves.
Absolutely. I love that passion, not obligation, because I think too often we consider it an obligation or like you were saying, Remy, it's sometimes I spent my time here. I'm going to move on now. Okay. I prayed. I read the Bible.
Right.
Check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're seeing Christ in everything, in everyone, and you're looking for signs and you're looking for opportunities and you're trying to grow, that's when it becomes back to what you said, not God, family, football, God first.
Right, it becomes
God is within everything, within a part of everything you do. And that's really what it's all about. Like we shouldn't separate being a Christian from anything else we do.
Absolutely.
It's not that I am I'm a Christian, I'm a sports reporter, I'm a talk show host. No, I am a Christian who does
these things. Exactly,
right?
Rob.
I don't just leave my Christianity at church on Sunday.
Correct.
I don't leave it within the house. I try and bring my Christianity to everything I do because it's a part of who I am.
And you've had to make tough decisions in order to do that. You've had to wear the restraint of that. And those restraints at times limit us, but they keep us healthy.
They absolutely do. And I want to get into a little bit later on, after we hear from Larry Johnson, about how the enemy tries to make us not feel good enough because that happened to him. It happened to me for sure. And I'm sure it happens for a lot of people. So up next, we're going to hear from former NFL star Larry Johnson. This is Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy and Pastor Kyle. And if you have missed any of our past episodes, just go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show we've done. Listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. You can also make sure to follow us at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'll be doing various speaking appearances. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey is every Tuesday night. It's a great place to watch a game and always an excellent spot if you want awesome food and drinks. I'll be there every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m., so come on out. We have sports talk, trivia, giveaways, prizes, special guests. It's just an awesome time. On October 10, I'll be hosting an event for the Parksburg Point featuring Tim Tebow. It'll be at the Octorara High School in an auditorium at 7 p.m. Tickets are sold out, but reach out to me if you want any more information about the event. On November 2nd, I'm speaking at the West Lawn UMC Men's Breakfast in Reading, PA. The breakfast opens at 7:30 a.m. Tickets are only $5. You can call 610-678-5611 to reserve your spot and come out and hear me deliver a very special message. Our guest, Larry Johnson, was a star running back at Penn State, which, as we said earlier in the show, is Remy's alma mater. He was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in the first round, 27th overall in 2003. He was a two-time Pro Bowl pick and All-Pro in 2006. He ran for 20 touchdowns in 2005, 17 more in 2006. Larry played 9 seasons in the NFL. He had some personal issues along the way, but he found his way to Christ. We talked about his journey recently. Here is that interview.
Larry, you are a guy who speaks your mind. You always have, and you're very open and honest on social media. You boldly share that you broke the devil's hold on your soul. How did you do that, and when did you come to Christ?
It was literally after I had tried to find every answer and through every liquor bottle, through every nightclub, through every, as I call it, Jezebel spirit woman, through every woman. I was searching and searching and searching until I came to my rock bottom, and I just fell on my knees one day and just say, all right, I give up. I surrender. I surrender. Teach me. Show me what I need to see. Show me how I can come search your face. Show me how I can recommit myself. And to be honest, it really started out from there, and it didn't even take more than a day for him to sit me down and show me certain things within my life that had me come repenting things that I didn't know I was doing wrong. And this is how I really found that path.
At what point in your life was that? Was that after the NFL? Was that in retirement? Where were you when you reached that rock bottom and you came to the Lord?
It was really after retirement. It was after retirement, trying to find out what I really wanted to do in life. And I really couldn't find as boys that a hole in my heart that could compete with football. And I was trying to do everything I could to distract myself from that void. And it was into 5 years after me retiring from football where I really was at a crossroads. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Do I go back into drinking? Do I go back into club life? Do I just become isolated? So I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And it just was at that point in my time of searching and being feeling empty that's where I found Christ.
I want to read to people the Bible verse that you have posted on your social, 1 Timothy 1:13-16, because it's a powerful one. And I think it's one that a lot of us really need to take a look at and come to understand. And it says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. We're all sinners. We all have been through rough things, tough times, done sometimes awful things in our lives. And I think sometimes, Larry, some of us may feel, I'm too far gone to come to the Lord. He doesn't want me. You went through a lot. You had some arrests. You had a lot of tough situations in the NFL, suspensions. How did you find that within you that, yeah, even though I did all of this stuff, he still loves me. He still accepts me. I'm a sinner, but that's okay. I could turn this around.
I think when I found the Apocrypha and the Wisdom of Solomon, which it says in the Bible too, that our Lord and Savior is long-suffering. When I understood that phrase, long-suffering, I knew that no matter how bad or how worse I can get, if you look at the sinners of the Bible, then you take Manasseh. Manasseh was maybe one of the worst of God's chosen to be king and what he did to the prophet Isaiah. If he could come back and to recommit himself and ask for forgiveness from the Lord God, what makes me think that my sins are even greater, even lesser to what happened in any of those guys in the Bible who have fallen short? We have all fallen short of God's glory. I felt that phrase, long suffering, and the fact that he hadn't took me or struck me down yet, that he knew that I would reach, you know, this point in my life where I'm actually talking to you about the Word of God. I think this is where I think people need to really put this in perspective, that even though you're going through the suffering of, see, that's his way of showing that if he's putting you through suffering, that's showing how much he loves you to correct you. Until you get to it to a point where you're able to show the grace of God, because that's what he wants. He ultimately wants to worship to show that everlasting grace that he has for your soul, that you one day come back.
That's powerful, man. And all of us, our mess becomes our message. I tell people that all the time. Do you kind of feel that way, or do you look back and go, yeah, I got some regrets?
The regrets I have process, not my journey. My regret is the people I involved into my journey, because I was in my state of mess, and there were women in my life that just really, really loved me, and they loved me at a point where I was a very low point in my life, and I think I have affected them, either good or bad, but I have affected them in a way that I didn't want them to be affected as they go on, as they leave from me and search for a better partner or a newer partner. I regret that. I regret those emotions that I took for granted from women that really, truly wanted to help me and wanted to see me win in my life struggle.
That's a wonderful sentiment, Larry, for sure. I want to ask you about this post that you put up the other day. It's strong, and it says, this generation thinks love means. And you listed a bunch of things. Tolerance of false religions, acceptance of all sin behavior, acceptance to all false doctrines, never expose anyone that accepts all of the above, never offend anyone with truth, attack anyone who disagrees. What are you seeing in the world right now that compelled you to put out this powerful statement?
I'm seeing a bunch of narcissistic children who have not come to terms with their emotional trauma in their past. Most of it started within the home, and it started within the mistrust and distrust of their own parents and the family members they're in. And this comes from the abuse and sometimes sexual assault that has split these children's minds into, well, I'm so far, like we talked about, how I'm so far gone that I'll just do whatever I want because no one cares. If everybody can love me for me being whoever I want to be, then I need to stay on that path of just doing whatever I want, no matter who it offends, if it offends God, if it offends my neighbor, if I come and do it with his love, then it should be okay. That's what I'm seeing with this generation. No one wants to stand for anything and wants to accept everything and say, well, this is who they want to be. Long as they're not hurting anybody and they're loving it, doing what they want to do, we should accept them for that, because no one allowed us to be who we were when we were children, and they imposed their will on us, and we don't know how to accept those struggles and accept that correction.
I think a lot of what we see today, man, is people are more concerned about being accepted, being liked by everyone, and they're afraid to, as you said, stand up for the truth and the biblical truth, because they don't want to offend anybody. And it's become a fine line that we try and have to walk. And I want to ask you about, you know, how's your health? I know that you probably had several concussions playing football.
And yeah, I've been playing football for a long period of time. I played when I was 9 years old, and that was full contact football. And that was at a time that we were doing a lot of extreme hitting drills, like bull in a ring, you know, nutcracker. It was like we would just wake up hitting, and we would do it in intense spaces. Now it's not so much, where there's rules and there's regulations, and they teach you how to tackle. But I played at a time when it was really, really savage, and you got kudo points and stickers on your back of your helmet if you laid a kid out.
Wow.
You made a kid's face. That's the culture of football I came in. So I didn't necessarily have concussions, but I had games where I was dizzy, stingers, things like that. But that builds up over time being a running back. If you're a running back where you pride yourself on not making guys miss but running guys over, that sooner or later deteriorates your brain. Right now, I have short-term memory loss. I forget things very, very easy. I used to be a guy that prided myself on remembering everything, and I would delete conversations out of my phone, like, later after a day, because I could remember. Now I have conversations 3 or 4 months ago just to remind myself what we were talking about, so I can not forget if I have an appointment, especially with my daughter. Like, sometimes I have to remember, I have to pick her up, and sometimes I go get her when it's not my time to go get her, and that turns into a whole argument. But this is like, I'm in short-term memory loss, and sometimes I get a little angry and all that. But that is why I started finding God and coming into the Word and understanding that there are other prophets that are mentioned, like Jeremiah, that will also have mental disorders, bipolar, because of how they really try to relay the message of the Word of God. And if more guys read into the Bible, there's plenty of examples of walk life of every type of person who struggles with mental illness or just, you know, kind of coming into real terms of who they are, you can get from the Bible.
Yeah, I think there are oftentimes we look for all kinds of solutions, and I would never tell someone not to seek professional help, but I think we have the answer. As believers, we have the answer, and that's Jesus Christ. And and really appreciate you spending some time with us here on Faith on the Field Show.
No problem. This one thing, I get this a lot of times in my DM, and guys, when I speak out, guys, aren't you afraid of what they'll say or what they might do to you? And I always keep this verse in the back of my mind that don't you know to be the friend of the world is mean to be enmity with God? I think that's how I see this. Like, God doesn't want us to conform to this age. He wants us to live above it. He doesn't want us to live with the heathen. He wants us to live among them. So I think I keep it in the back of my head and know that if God is for us, who can be against us?
That's a strong one. Hey, Jesus said, if the world hates you, they hated me first in part. And it's a tough walk, man. It's a tough challenge. It's not easy to do it every day. There's going to be things to try and bring us down. The enemy, I always find, works harder and harder the closer I walk with the Lord. And I'm sure that happens in your life, too, as well.
Exactly. And sometimes I really want to engage in some of these conversations. There's been times where you would have feel like you're that isolated, you're not just going for people, but it's really hard. Like, everybody is so intrusive in this world that even when you come to a social media aspect, like, you want to be able to join in and have fun and joke a little bit, but at what price does it going to take for your soul to do those things? And that's, you know, it's a very fine line, but it's well worth that fight.
Well, Larry, man, thank you again. I really appreciate your time.
That was former NFL star Larry Johnson. We'll talk about his interview next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti with Remy and Pastor Kyle. And we just heard from former NFL star Larry Johnson speak really openly about who he was and who he now is. And I want to go back to what he said about 1 Timothy 1:13 to 16. It's a powerful verse from Paul. And it says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul's saying, of whom I am the worst. And we know he murdered Christians. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. The enemy wants to make us feel so guilty about our past that we will think God could never forgive us or accept us. But if we would just look at Paul, he murdered Christians, yet God used him to do mighty, mighty, mighty Absolutely. Work for the kingdom. And that's a powerful lesson for every one of us, no matter how shameful we think our past is, that God can forgive us and He can use us too. And Larry came to that realization after his NFL career. Yeah. So he was at the top of the mountain. He was a superstar player, and he had a lot of issues during his NFL career. And although he played for about 9 seasons, there was some issues with the law, some yep. issues and all kinds of stuff that he had to go through. But he realizes now that, you know, whatever it was in my past, I can get through that. God forgives me. God accepts me. And I think there's so much power in that for all of us to know, because the enemy, man, works so hard to make us think that we're not worthy,
Absolutely.
That we're not good enough, that we can't be forgiven. And going back to what we talked about in my little scenario and what was going on with me, sometimes the enemy makes you feel like, or he wants you to think that people are ignoring you or disrespecting you, when in actuality, They either fear you, they're jealous of you, or they feel threatened by you.
It's good, Rob. Yeah.
And what the enemy wants you to, he wants to turn that into something against you. So it's a powerful message when we learn that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of times we either are living to prove that voice right or living to prove that voice wrong.
Yes.
And either way, that's going to be, it breaks us because I'm going to show you. Right. I'm going to, if I have that in my mind, I'll show you, I'm going to prove that you're wrong. We're still moving from ego. Yes. If we believe that it's right, then we're living in shame, guilt, and condemnation. Both of those things are wrong. We're listening to the wrong voice. It's not about who you used to be. It's about who you can be.
Right.
When I come to Christ, the old is gone. The new has come. The journey now is finding out who the new person is.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be people that are going to try to remind me of who I was in high school or remind me who I was.
You don't need people.
When I was young.
Your
yeah, exactly. My mind, our guilt, our shame, all the things that are inside of us. Absolutely. Yeah. So we can't live from a place of either trying to prove someone else right or prove someone else wrong. We actually have to say, who has God created me to be? Who am I meant to be? What is God doing in my life? And how do I live that out today?
Yeah, the enemy wants you to turn inwards at all times.
Absolutely.
What is me, 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 me? Got to do. You don't have to do anything, really. All you have to do is just listen to Jesus and his voice inside your head. When you turn inwards, a lot of things happen. Jealousy happens, hate happens, anger happens, destruction happens in the end.
Absolutely.
You destroy your life, basically, little by little. That's his goal. That's his plan. So when you turn outwards and say, okay, I'm going to look into Jesus now, look at God and what he's doing, what he wants me to do, you start thinking, okay, it's not about me.
Yes.
This whole thing is not about feelings. It's not about who wins. It's not about who likes. It's not about anything. Mm. It's about, am I glorifying God in this particular moment?
Yes.
With my entire life? It boils down to that.
Yep.
And for me, every time I fall into that trap of like, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, I got nothing to do, I got nowhere to go, this is turning inwards. Yeah. I remind myself, whoa, sister, what are you doing? Like, this is not what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Look upwards, look to heaven. What is Jesus wanting in this moment? Because there is no battle out there that I cannot win. He has no authority.
Correct.
Yeah. Jesus, give me the authority.
Right.
I already have the authority. Whatever the authority he has, he give to me. Therefore, no one else has the authority.
That's right.
No one else
has the authority to determine who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know who I am in Jesus Christ, and therefore nothing can stop me. So when you say somebody says something to you or about your job or about, who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. you're right. And I think we can focus. That's where I need to recognize, and I go back to, I'm like, that's the enemy. That is
absolutely
always the enemy trying to just steal from you. He's always trying to steal from you. I want to emphasize the 1 Timothy 1:16 here, where, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example.
Yes.
As an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul wasn't concerned about creating a bigger image.
Yes.
His own image. Yes. See, Paul wasn't concerned with or worried about or focused on building his brand, trying to grow his followers on social media, trying to get more recognition for himself. Paul was all about being the example. And he didn't shy away from talking about everything that he did in his past, because he knew that his failures and all of the things that he did, he would use that to bring hope to other people. But it only happens when Paul is willing to really let his guard down,
yes,
let his defenses down to share the gospel. And that's when he's speaking openly and honestly. And I think that when we're trying to spread the message, when we're trying to share the gospel, it is so important for us to let our guard down. Sometimes we want to share the gospel, but we don't want to let everybody into why we are where we are. I have no problem doing this, and sometimes people will say to me, like, hey, why do you share that much information about your past?
Right.
I'm like, so somebody knows who maybe went through it or is going through it or is doing what I did can realize that Christ pulled me out of that.
Yes.
That I was on a path of self-destructive behavior.
Because they think it should be shameful for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should,
yes.
The shame.
You're right.
The
you should be too ashamed.
The enemy always does that. Yep. You should be too ashamed to say that. And, you should be.
And you know what?
That's who I was.
Right?
Yeah, that's who I was.
Yeah. That's not who I am. And it also, and then some will use that as say, because that's who you were,
you
how could you be where you are
now?
Yeah,
you should not be who you are today. Yeah.
Right.
And that's like, but Christ changed me. Christ changed me, and you know what? He could change you and your thinking for feeling that way.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we get caught up in that, and I just wanted to emphasize the importance of like to really spread the gospel, share the message, and get people to understand the transforming power of Christ. We should not be afraid to let people what Christ has done for us and who we were before he did that work in us.
Yeah, look, when we talk about our past, it's to help people connect to who the reality of all of our own brokenness, because you don't have to have been broken in the same way I am or I was, but we all can recognize when we talk about that, I have stuff in my own closet.
Yeah.
But then it's about the transformation, is about the glorification of God, is that he can take someone that's so broken and use it for his glory. And the beautiful thing about our world is that, you know, it is a story. The great thing about America at some level is that America is always really good and given second and third and fourth and fifth chances.
Yeah.
Except for sometimes when it comes to the church. And then it's like, oh no, you screwed up, you're done, right? And then you're like, well, wait a minute. Isn't this kind of what, like, the story of what Paul is? Danielle and I were out walking the other day, and we were talking about a celebrity who has started to speak very boldly about their faith.
I think and I know who you're talking about.
Who has in the past had some, what I would consider, some mental moments in maybe some challenges. I think the first response is always, well, wait, I'll wait and see, right? Because let's wait and see.
We had this conversation yesterday.
But then I said, I bet that's how people felt about Paul. You know, and at some level, that's okay because Paul would have said, and rightly so, They should take a step back. 2 weeks ago, I was killing them. So, all right. But the what I love about Paul and what's so powerful, Rob, about what you're saying is that it wasn't just a moment in Paul's life that he could say, God save me. It was from that moment that his life was transformed, and the message of that transformation backed up that moment. So we sometimes want to say, I've been saved, but we're still acting the same way we did, or maybe we just cleaned up some language and there's not a reflection of Jesus. No, Paul can say, you're right, you should follow my example. What does he say? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Do you want to see if this is real? Just look, because I'm not ashamed that I was that way. Because that's the beauty. Where sin abounded, grace abounded that much more.
Yeah.
That's the message of the gospel.
That's so beautiful. And we don't really have a lot of time to get into what Larry was, the post that he talked about, the generation thinking love means tolerance of false religions and all this stuff. And that goes back to what you were saying, is sometimes we don't want to give the church a second chance. And if a Christian stands up for their beliefs too strongly, they are not only frowned upon, but then sometimes we're considered bigots, or we're considered homophobes, or we're considered whatever it is, right? We're intolerant, and it becomes critical of the entire faith.
Of course.
And so there's, I think that's what Larry was trying to get.
Labels marginalize people. Yeah. So if you can put a label on someone, that person or that idea becomes marginalized, so that in marginalizing it, you can be proud that you're not part of it.
Yes.
So that's what ends up happening.
Really
where we marginalize, like when we put a label on someone, then we go, it's really good that we don't listen to them, because that thing is so small.
And that's really, I think, what that was getting to. We are out of time. Thank you to everybody, all our listeners, our followers. Thanks to Larry Johnson for speaking so openly and honestly with us. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for all his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, and everything he does. Jim Henderson, thank you for all the work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thanks to all our sponsors. We couldn't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonthefield.com. faithonthefieldshow.com and follow them also on social media. Not just great companies, but awesome people too. Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, the King's Christian School, Center Square Tavern, California Closets, and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Reedsboro. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Live, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.